Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I am so excited because my guest, Gary Oates, we're blessed to be able to make this connection. He's traveling all over the world. He comes from a good evangelical, fundamental background, raised Southern Baptist, on staff with Campus Crusade, became a pastor after he got spirit-filled in an independent charismatic church. But he was just like all of us. And then something happened. Literally, the scales came off of his eyes. He began to see into the invisible world, began to see what God was doing, and then almost like an actor, he just follows what God is doing. And he began to see angels, he began to see demons, he began to hear God, but he found out how he could achieve that intimacy with God that his heart had always wanted, that he was praying for, that he heard testimonies of, but wasn't happening to him. And he put together a book called Open My Eyes, Lord. And it's a practical how-to book. And if you will follow these instructions, I believe that wherever you are right now, you'll move into a realm. As a matter of fact, Gary, people are reading your book or following your advice. And give me a real-life person that's done this and what's happened to them.
Well, I got a phone call from a lady in Washington State. Actually, we had known her for quite some time. Just a wonderful, wonderful person, loves the Lord. And she said that, you know, she was so longing for her eyes to be open, more spiritual experiences with the Lord. And I sent her a copy of my book. Well, in the meantime, a fire began to develop in that area of Washington State, toward the center of the state, and it was coming near her neighborhood. She called frantically, crying, please pray, the fire's coming. We got the message. We were out of town. We got back. We later heard that the fire had diverted and gone toward the center of the state. It was a real dry time. It was in the summer. This was in July or August, and the temperatures there get 110, 115 degrees in the summertime, and very dry and brittle time. The fire was running rampant, burning thousands and thousands of acres. Well, she was reading the book. She finished the book. She went through the prayer of impartation at the end. And she began to pray, and she said, oh, God, she said, send angels to put the fire out. And as she was praying, as she had prayed the prayer, God, open my eyes that I might see in the realm of the Spirit, God opened her eyes. Two angels came in. They were right in her room. They were holding big buckets of water. And they said, we have come to put the fire out. That day, storm clouds came up out of nowhere. Totally not normal for that time of year. And dumped a heavy load of rain directly on the fire and put the fire out. And she saw some of the firemen leaving town that later that day, and they were amazed because the fire had been put out. They weren't needed anymore. They said this mysterious storm came up and dumped all this rain on the fire and put it out, and we're going home.
This is just an average person. All of a sudden, her eyes were opened. But this isn't just happening to one or two people. I believe this is God's time. I believe that heaven is drawing so close to earth that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and I asked you when I spoke to you on the phone, Gary, I said, what do? Do you put a worship cassette on and just worship God? And you said, I do that. I said, oh, what do? Do you read the Bible a lot? And you said, I do that. I said, well, what do? Do you do a lot of intercessory prayer? And you said, I do that. But that isn't what gets me my intimacy. Give me some practical steps of what someone should do listening to us right now to walk into this intimacy
with
God.
Well, a lot of the components of my time with the Lord are simply this. It varies from time to time, but I take a time. I go in and I shut the door and I get down on the floor. There's something about getting in a prostrate position before the Lord and allowing the Spirit of God to come. And I just begin to cry out to God. First, I confess my sins. I ask him to forgive me and to cleanse me. I begin to worship him. I pray in tongues. I sing in the Spirit. And I begin to recall past times where God has moved powerfully in my life, or I've seen him do miracles. And that.
And what about the person that's saying, but I've never seen him do a miracle. What should I do?
Recall those times that God did something special in their lives. They met a need. They were crying out. God answered a prayer in a real special way to them. Recall those times as we testify to what God has done in our lives in the past. It releases the power of God to do that same thing again in our lives. And as we reach out to him, just in a total position of humility and yielding ourselves totally to him, I go through a process of yielding the members of my body to him. I don't do it as a formula to try to get God to do something, but it's just a daily reminder of not wanting to live according to the desires of the flesh, but to live in the realm of the Spirit. So I give him my eyes that I can see with his eyes. I give him my ears that I can hear with his voice. I give him my mouth that I might speak his words. I give him my nose that I can smell his sweet fragrance. I give him my hands that I can begin to touch what he's touching only. And I give him my feet that I can go where he wants me to go. I give him my heart that my heart is totally his, a pure heart, a clean heart. I give him my mind. I do all of that. It's a house cleaning. It's a cleansing time that goes on. And then I just wait, and I don't ask for anything. It's not, God, give me this, God, do that, but rather, God, I just want more of you, more of your presence, Lord, more of your fullness.
Okay, you say that, but then you're there, but what is going on? What happens if your mind starts wandering?
Well, the first time I did that, it did. I made the decision. I went into the room the first time I did that, because my priorities, you know, I said my highest priority was to worship God and to spend time alone with him, but our priorities are what we actually do, and that's not what I was doing. And I decided one day, I went in and I locked the door up to my room, and I said, I'm not coming out till I experience the manifest presence of God. And I laid on the floor, an hour went by, and nothing happened. My mind wandered. I had to keep focusing and focusing, and I said, God, I am not leaving here if I'm here all day long. I was determined. I was desperate. And that's what it takes. It takes a real desperateness, a determination to seek the deeper things of God, not just talk about it, not to say we want it, but willing to get on our face before him and seek him with all that we have.
But why does he require that? He can touch anyone he wants anytime he wants to.
Well, it's for our benefit. It really shows where our heart is, that our desire is for his presence and his presence alone. All the things that we want, spiritually speaking, come only from his presence. That's where it comes from. We're busy seeking power. We're wanting more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're wanting this. We're wanting that. God, do all these other things. God, if you just take care of this, I'd be so much better. But we're not.
God, if you give me $1 million, I'll give money to ministry.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's God, I want to seek your face. And as we begin to enter into his presence, we begin to experience his manifest presence. By the way, I was there for 3 hours on the floor before I began to sense the presence of God coming into the room.
But you were willing to just stay there till it happened.
Absolutely. I was determined. And that's what it takes. It takes a real determination.
Was there a point where you almost stopped?
Yes, 2 or 3 times. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. It was a struggle. It was not easy. But after that breakthrough and experiencing the presence of God like I did, I'll tell you, I'm more in love with him now than I've ever been in my life. I cannot get enough of his presence. I long for the presence of God. Every day, the first thing I do is I get before him, seeking his presence alone. And as his manifest presence comes on me, I know that he's there. That's not the goal. That's the beginning point. When we begin to experience his manifest presence, when he's right there, when we're in his presence, that's when he opens our eyes. That's when we begin to see in the realm of the Spirit. That's when he gives us more revelation. That's when we begin to have dreams and visions. that's when we begin to see the gifts of the Spirit begin slowly freeing. It's like there's an accumulative effect that happens in spending daily time alone, just seeking the face of God. And then as we begin to talk to someone, even on the street, in place of work, wherever we are, as we begin to talk to someone, God begins to speak to us in a new way.
Gary, why did you write this book, Open My Eyes, Lord?
Well, I struggled with it for a while to do it because I didn't want any attention drawn to me over it. And I didn't want it to be just another testimony book, but I wanted it to be a practical approach to ministry where others can receive that impartation, to have their eyes open, to begin to see in the Spirit, to be drawn closer to the presence of God, to be able to experience the kingdom of God on earth, just like what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer. You know, His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we experience the heavenlies, as we experience the presence of God on this earth, it totally transforms our lives. This is available for every person.
What about your wife? Did anything happen to her?
Oh, my goodness, yes. She had very similar experiences all along. God opened her eyes to see in the realm of the Spirit. She sees angels behind people. She'll go over and she'll do what she sees the angel doing, and it brings healing. She's had some dramatic healings happen as she's seen a healing angel behind a person. And so she goes and she does what she sees the angel doing. God's opened her eyes in a marvelous way to see in the realm of the Spirit.
Have many people that have had you pray the prayer of impartation from either reading into the book or, as we'll do on tomorrow's broadcast, had their lives so radically transformed as you have in your wife?
Yes. Actually, we get so many reports back from people that have read the book that are beginning to see in the Spirit. They put the book down, they're praying, they're seeking the face of God. They turn around, an angel appears to them.
We're out of time, Mishpucha. Listen, if you have never, ever written it, or if you have, I urge you to get this book called Open My Eyes, Lord. It's so practical. It's so down to earth. It's a definite how-to book. It's God's time for you. For a donation of $20, I'd love to send this to you.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500.
For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.